Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Thank you, Father, for making this possible. We praise you and we thank you for getting your truth out. We want it to be unleavened bread. Please help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to talk about prepare for tribulation harvest. Sounds interesting. And the first revelation we're going to share is a great harvest through UBM. When we started our website, Mark Ward helped me to set it up. At that time, he had a dream. In it, he saw himself going to his neighbor's yard with his casting rod to teach him how to catch fish. He demonstrated to his neighbor by casting out his line, but the line never hit the ground. Instead, it went out between the telephone wires into space. He noticed that all the way down the line were many, many hooks. And as he waited, a fish the size of a man was caught on one of the hooks. And then a fish as big as the sky came and swallowed the first fish. So Mark asked me what I thought this meant, and I said, Jesus called us to catch men, Matthew 4:19. And he saith unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men. And Luke 5:10. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. So fishing through the telephone lines and in space must be fishing over the internet and wireless. And I told him that the Lord was confirming that the website we were building was going to be very successful for the kingdom in bringing in a great harvest. The first fish was the size of a man to show that he was fishing for men. And the second fish was to show that a great corporate body of men would be caught by us in this method. So it's clear from many dreams and visions that this, along with standard methods of evangelization through sending out many witnesses, as Jesus showed us, will bring a great revival through UBM and many other ministries that God is raising up. So this next revelation is tribulation ministry before the great storm. Okay, this was given to Tony Hinton. In a dream, my wife and I were floating along a body of water. This is real good. I've shared this recently, but it's really good. And please pay attention. There's some really good conscience guides in here, you know. It appeared to be a lake, but it was large, like an ocean. Each of us was on a separate float, which was yellow gold in color. And I thought that the waters are the peoples of the world. The yellow gold is the nature of Christ, which separates and sanctifies and preserves the righteous from the world. We were lying on our backs on these floats, looking up at a brilliant sun and beautiful blue sky. At this time, the water was still like glass. We were dressed in white body suits, similar to skin diving suits. I believe that those in white are the righteous who are separated from the world, as in body suits, with their faces to the sun, S-O-N, of God in faith, rather than on the world and the wicked ways of the world and religion. Going on, he said, each of us had a Bible in our hands, and we were reading to each other, taking turns reading aloud. And these were special Bibles because they were not affected by the weather or water in any way. Water being a representative of the world and its ways and its thinking, the Bible is not affected by that. Okay? So the ink did not run if they got wet, and the pages did not blow in the wind. So I thought that the special Bibles are the unleavened bread, which is not polluted with the thinking of men and the water. The lake was huge, and we floated all over this lake together, just enjoying reading and being together. And when the wind would start to blow, we would join hands, my right and her left. Well, I would say that she is on your right hand as Christ and his true church, the called out ones. Okay. And we continued to read, holding the Bibles with our other hand. And when the rains began, we held hands even tighter and continued to read louder, so we could be heard above the dark sky of the winds and rains. These were intense, dark rains, but they would not last very long, and the sun would come out again, and the sky would be beautiful and blue again. And I think that these are the birth pains of coming tribulation, which will grow in intensity and frequency. Every day, we would seem to see different and new parts of this huge lake. As we came to a different part of this lake, it was beautiful, but there was a cove off the main body of water. From this cove, we began to hear cries. And at the same time, we both became aware of something under the surface of the water. It was bad and very foreboding. Well, I believe that God's true people will receive clear revelation of the Antichrist dragon body as the peoples of the world. And Isaiah 27 and 1 says, in that day the Jehovah will with his hand, his hard and great and strong sword punish Leviathan the swift serpent and Leviathan the crooked serpent. And he will slay the monster, the Hebrew there is also dragon, that is in the sea. There it is. Revelation 12 and 9, and the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto death. As we prayed, it left and headed up towards the cove where the cries were coming from. Of course, the devil is bringing great troubles upon all the peoples of the world because of the curse and because of their sin and because they haven't come under the blood, right? We prayed again. I said, we need to go see if we can help whoever it was that we were hearing. And my wife said, yes, but what about that thing under the water? However, even without talking, we knew that we had to agree and go, so we did. Well, I'll say that many will seek to stay hidden from the cries for help, but the need to help those who are in danger of the dragon will outweigh the fear of the dragon itself because of the grace of God. So, agreeing to go, we went a long way up the cove, almost losing sight of the main body of water. There were other coves off this one, lots of them, and we could tell that there appeared to be a maze of coves. I believe the coves are the smaller bodies of people to whom we are sent, which will lead to other bodies, and the major body on the broad road will not be saved. Okay. At this point, a dark and rainy wind came up out of nowhere and blew us apart. We could see each other, but had been blown apart. We began paddling as hard as we could with our free hand towards each other. Well, I would say that troubles will separate the body, but the hands here represent our own efforts to save ourselves and keep our feeling of safety in unity. And as it was with the early disciples, some may be separated from their wives for a time for the sake of those who need to hear God's voice in you, right? And we have been shown that some families will be safe in our refuge so that the husbands can feel free to go out with the gospel, not always without the wife, but sometimes. Sometimes wives have a lot of children to take care of, and so God knows. The Bible's were still in our other hand. The wind then began blowing so hard and the waves became so high that we lost sight of each other. Well, this will happen in tribulation when many are in great turmoil and crying for help, and also the worldly rise up against the true God. Isaiah 57 and 20 says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, for it cannot rest, and its waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." I felt my heart go faint and despair grip my soul, and I knew it was the same for my wife. But with all that was in me, I started crying out for Jesus to help us. And suddenly a voice came out of the midst of the storm and said, "Use your arm with the word as your paddle. Hurry, for worse, much worse storms never before seen lie ahead." Unquote. So this separation, I believe, will bring many to deep self-crucifying repentance. But the righteous will learn to live by faith in the promises of God's word. They'll find power there, and that's rather than their own self-efforts, right? The hand couldn't do it, but the book could, right? So the word paddle will move us forward. And many will be translated from place to place, so that the body will be unified through their faith. I took the Bible and started paddling while shouting the word. Instantly, I began to move over the waves and through the wind and rain. Then I made it to my wife, who was crying because she knew that I was coming for her. Well, it's not just the knowledge of the word, but the spoken word that will save and unify the body through tribulation. Through much effort, we clasped hands again, and all seemed to be well, even though this storm continued for a little while longer. The storm then passed, with the sun coming back out. We rolled back over on our backs, basking in the sun, and began to sing sweet songs of praise to Jesus for saving us. We rested in Him. Well, when we have entered the rest through our own wilderness tribulations by keeping our eyes on the Son of God, we are prepared to give this gift to others in need. And then it was morning, and we again heard the cries coming from the cove. We agreed that I would go and my wife would stay so that she could keep the main body of water in sight, and I would follow the cries no further than I could hear my wife's voice, so that we would know where each of us was as I went to locate the cries coming from the cove. Well, contrary to popular opinion, sometimes men will go out to evangelize, and many women will teach the younger women and the children in communal places of refuge, just as it was in the time of the Gospels and the Book of Acts. And as we are commanded in the Word, some lead about a wife, as in 1 Corinthians 9 and 5. Have we no right to lead about a wife that is a believer, even as the rest of the apostles and the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Well, history must repeat. The things that have been are the things that shall be. Ecclesiastes 1 and 9. And also those men who are called to stay with the baggage in David's day shared in the plunder of conquering the enemy, of course. 1 Samuel 30 and 24. As I began to make my way towards the cove, I remembered the thing under the water, and I prayed for Jesus to protect my wife. Rounding a bend in this cove, I came upon another cove, and there were all kinds of people on black floats trying to make their way towards the main body of water. Well, the ones in black floats are those who are called of God but have not been sanctified in separation from the world, and are therefore in danger because they are headed to the broad road of the masses and also of the dragon. Mm-hmm. So they were entangled in a huge, evil-looking black vine that came up out of the water. The vine had thorns on it, and at the end of the thorns were hooks. These hooks had hold of these people. Some had been there a long time and were still appearing to be dead, and others just lay there moaning, moving only slightly, and those who had just gotten entangled were thrashing about wildly in the water, screaming for help. So these were the cries that we had heard, and the people were of all different colors, yellow, black, brown, and white, and young and old alike. Well, those who are called out of the world are entangled by the vine of their carnal life of sin, which springs from the earth, out of which the fruit has to grow. Isaiah 27 and 2 says, "In that day a vineyard of wine, sing ye unto it. I, Jehovah, am its keeper. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Wrath is not in me. Would that the briars and thorns," notice, were against me in battle. Some are twice dead and plucked up by the roots. We know that. And they'll not return to the Lord. Some are entangled in carnal religion that caters to the fleshly man and think they have arrived in some cases, you know. But Lord leads them on. 2 Peter 2 and 18 says, "For uttering great swelling words of vanity, they entice in the lusts of the flesh by lasciviousness." And this means self-justifying doctrines that permit sin, right? Those who are just escaping from them that live in error. So they escaped one trap and fell into a religious trap, right? Promising them liberty while they themselves are bondservants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he also brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein and overcome, the last state is become worse with them than the first. Well, that's reprobation that we're talking about here, a rejection by God. 21 goes on, "For it were better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered unto them." We must stay connected to the holy commandment and not necessarily preachers. We have to have our own connection there, seeking out our own salvation with fear and trembling. 22. "It has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog turning to his own vomit again, and the sow that had washed to wallowing in the mire. Within myself I thought, if I went into this maze, I too would be hooked, and my wife would be left alone. I then heard a clear voice say, 'Fear not,'" quote unquote. "Quote, 'Use your paddle,'" which was the Bible, right, "'to cut them free,'" unquote. "I began to swing at the vine with my hand that had the Bible, which I had used as a paddle, and which had suddenly become a razor-sharp sword." We know that's true, right? Stunned, I continued to swing the sword, cutting away the vine and the hooked thorns. The people would fall free and turn over on their backs. In other words, eyes up towards the sun, S-O-N, with faith in the word. And begin to float in the cove towards the main body of water. We were weeping with joy and thanksgiving as the people were freed. Well, amen. So those who have overcome and are sent must be careful not to be defiled with the leaven of the unsanctified. But as long as they use the sword of the spoken word against the flesh, they will be safe. And those who listen will be set free by learning to face the Son by faith. James 1 and 27 says, "Pure religion and undefiled before our God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." So, visit the fatherless and widows, those who are trapped in their sins and don't know the way out. If you know the gospel, you're qualified to tell them, right? "So then I froze as I heard my wife's voice. She was a long way off, and I told everyone to be quiet so that I could tell the direction from where her voice was coming. She was calling out that the thing under the water had come back and to hurry. I knew that this thing was powerful and could pull her under if she were alone. Crying out, I asked Jesus to help her. Well, there will be attempts by the dragon and then later the beast against the camps of the saints. But faith towards God will preserve them, exercising our authority that the Lord has given us, authority over all the power of the enemy, right? So turning to those still caught up in the evil vine, I told them, hold on, help is coming. I then told those who could paddle to follow me, following the person in the front of them out of the cove and towards the main body of water. Well, that's back where the people need to be saved, right? So those who are committed yet unstable will be guided to the camp of the saints, where prophets and pastors and teachers will nourish them to purify and strengthen. And of course, if your church don't have that, you need to move. So we began to paddle towards my wife's voice, but I could not seem to get anywhere because with so many people in the water beside me, it was creating a drag or a wake and was hampering my progress. I then remembered what Jesus had said, that a worse storm is coming, a storm that has never been, quote unquote. And all I could think of was getting to my wife, and I asked the Lord to put a hedge of protection around her. Well, we know that before the day of the Lord comes and after the tribulation, the God's people will be gathered into the ark of Christ. That's before the day of the Lord, right? And the day of the Lord comes after the tribulation. So God's people will be gathered into the ark during that time of tribulation to ride out the tribulation and the beginning 40 days of this storm. The tribulation and 40 days into the day of the Lord is that time period. I then thought of all the people still caught up in the evil vine, and I paddled even harder, determined not to be separated from my wife in the storm that was coming, and I was strengthened. Well, some will be gathered and some will be destroyed in the day of the Lord's wrath. Jude 1 and 22. And on some have mercy who are in doubt, and some save, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment that's spotted by the flesh. The spots, of course, are sins, right? And now unto him that is able to guard you from stumbling and to set you before the presence of his glory without blemish in exceeding joy. Amen. He is able. Believe it. And finally, catching sight of my wife while paddling towards her, I then saw on the horizon behind her a wall of very black clouds beginning to form. It was on the other side of the horizon, and it was a wall of black darkness, which reminded me of Joel 2 and 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain, and let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Verse 31, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord cometh. And Amos 5 and 20, shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? Father, I cried, you are not willing, And actually the word is wishing in the Greek, right? You're not wishing that any should perish. Stay the storm a while longer. Well, this storm will come for 7 years while the saints are being purified. And then a worse storm will come at the beginning of the great and terrible day of the Lord's wrath. Some people don't know that. If you study our teachings, you'll see it very clearly in the scriptures. And as in the natural, Zion was a place of safety. Micah 4:8 says, "And thou, O tower of the flock," that's a place of safety for the flock, right? Matthew 24:29, "But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light." So that's after the tribulation, but at the beginning of the great and terrible day of the Lord. "And the stars shall fall from heaven," representing the called that are not gathered and lose their position with Christ in the heavenlies because they have not borne fruit through the tribulation. "And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." So it's called the Day of the Lord because it's not only the Day of the Lord coming, but it's the Day of the Lord's wrath that comes after that on the wicked who mistreated God's people. Mm-hmm. "And he shall send forth his angels with a great sound of a trumpet." That's the last trump. Just remember that. There's not two last trumps. "And they shall gather together his elect." That's the chosen who are gathered from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. "I then woke up and I was crying. My beard and my bed were soaked, and I was sick for most of the day." Well, after this great revelation, why was the sickness? But this sounds like Daniel 8:25-27. "And through his policy, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart. And in their security shall he destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evenings and mornings which hath been told is true. But shut thou up the vision, for it belongeth to many days to come." We're very close now. "And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days, and then I rose up and did the king's business." So he had this great revelation of the both the evil and the good, and then he was sick. "And then I rose up and did the king's business. And I wondered at the vision, but none understood it." Okay, here's another revelation. Angels ask to serve us in the harvest. And this was given to Brian. "I had a dream that I was standing outside staring at the sky. It was dark, and the sky was full of stars. As I was looking up, the moon and the stars started moving around in a crazy circle very fast." The moon and the stars represent God's people passing through many nights, represented by their circling, you know, the earth. And when they stopped, some of the stars made the shape of a large fish in the sky and started blinking like a neon sign, getting attention towards these fish, right? And I think the great fish in heavenly places represents a great corporate harvest of fish after the many nights. Okay, what looked like smoke then started coming down from the sky from where the fish was towards me. I was scared and started running towards this house. The smoke was following me, and as I went into the house and turned around, and much to my surprise, the smoke took on the shape of a huge angel with wings. It then started waving at me very friendly-like, and I turned around to tell whoever was in the house that there was an angel outside waving at me. Sure, sure. When I turned around, it was daylight, and there were now many angels who were all standing right in front of me. Reminds me of Hebrews 1 and 14. Are they angels? Not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation. They serve us because we're inheriting salvation. They looked like people, and they all had pen and paper in their hands, ready to write. They greeted me and asked me if I needed anything. Well, the angels serve our needs in the work of bringing in the fish, among other things, and provisions for ourselves too, gifts for ourselves, and so on. I said, "Can you make sure Lisa Tate and her family are saved?" Lisa is a childhood friend that I have been dreaming about lately. One of the angels said, "We can't see that someone is saved, but we are here to see if you need anything." In doing what? In bringing salvation and the gospel to the people, right? You have not because you ask not, we're told. And many in the days to come will get the revelation of how angels can do all that is necessary far easier than us and far greater than us. And when we pray in faith, the angels are the ones that bring those answers and provisions and so forth. So the Lord confirmed this dream days later through my 3-year-old nephew, who was spending the weekend at my mother's house. He just blurted out on that Sunday afternoon that he had a dream that the night before that the sun, moon, and stars all got into a boat that was in the water, right? There's the ark, right? And I have to say that goosebumps grew quickly. Well, 1 Corinthians 15 likens the sun, the moon, and the stars to the different stages of growth of God's people. And here they are caught in a boat like fish, right? It was then that the Spirit led me to a book called The Witness of the Stars by E.W. Bullinger, where I think I found the fish. I had no idea that the Zodiac had the biblical story. Yes, it does. It's been perverted, but yes, it's been perverted by men. But as long as you hang with the Scriptures, you'll be all right. I guess Satan has counterfeited everything. And this is what I found in Book 2, Chapter 2. Piscis australis, that's the southern fish. This first constellation is one of high antiquity, and its brilliant star of the first magnitude was a subject of great study by the Egyptians and the Ethiopians. It was named in Arabic Fam al-Haut, the mouth of the fish. There were 22 other stars. So it is the fish's hunger from God that causes them to be caught. So God draws people unto us, and we should pray for that too. So, the constellation is inseparable from Aquarius, in the Dendera zodiac. It is called air, that is, a stream. It sets forth the simple truth that blessings procured by the man, the coming seed of the woman, we believe, will be surely bestowed and received by those from whom they are intended. There will be no failure in their communication or in their reception. What has been purchased shall be secured and possessed. Amen. God's plan to save those that are lost and bring them up in the gospel and mature them, right? So this is true of Jesus and Jesus in the end time man child of Revelation 12. Hold on to your faith for the things promised by God. Answers are coming quickly. P.S. Zodiac, ancient word zoas, is the path or the way. The Bible speaks of constellations of the zodiac positively, but men have turned these good signs into astrology, which is, of course, idolatry. So in Acts, the way is the Christian walk. It's mentioned several times there. Okay, this revelation is, we called Harvest Awaits While Laborers Play. This is Debbie Renier. Matthew 9 and 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were distressed and scattered as sheep not having a shepherd. Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest. Amen. Well, yes, Lord, we do pray that you would send forth your anointed people to be bold witnesses for you, in Jesus' name. Over the last three nights, the Lord has given me this dream, and I saw the most beautiful golden wheat field gently rippling in the breeze. This field was of gigantic proportions, as large as California and Texas combined. And I seemed to be floating just above the field, and as I gazed downward, I saw hands reaching up out of the wheat field. The hands were of all sizes and colors. They seemed to be trying to reach or grasp for something or someone that was above them. I then saw a few people, perhaps a half dozen, go into the field and start helping those whose hands I saw grasping. Those whom they helped in the field also began helping others. So this scene was really heartbreaking, as there were so many who reached up and so few to help. Many more were missed and overlooked than were saved. Well, we pray that all hands that reach to God get answered. Luke 10 and 2, and he said unto them, the harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest. Amen, Lord. We commit to do this, Lord, by your grace. I then looked at the edges of the enormous field and saw much frantic activity. Construction workers were busily building large churches and big houses, and I saw business people rushing to work and car dealerships selling expensive cars. They were all totally oblivious to the tragic scene in the wheat field. They rushed about as if nothing was wrong. See, there's an important job for the folks out there to be a witness for Jesus, right? The Great Commission. I then woke up. The Lord led me to the 10th chapter of Hosea. Then he spoke. People keep building and laying up treasures here on earth. They will be destroyed. Seek that which is lost. Do not waste your time on the foolish things that will perish. That doesn't mean that the Lord can't provide you with those things so that you don't have any overhead or distraction so you can go on about the Lord's business, right? Amen. Tares separated, we call this one, GC. GC wrote to me the following on 11/16/2012. As the world gets darker, you can see the light a lot more in some people, while the rest become completely engrossed in the darkness that surrounds them. We're coming to the days where there will be no more fence sitters concerning what is right and wrong. People will be totally righteous or be completely wicked and depraved. The separation has already begun, and judgment has started at the house of God, and I have been horrified by what I have seen. The once strong brethren I've witnessed being turned over to the beast nature. I am not talking about a misstep or stumble, rather complete disregard for the truth and giving in to every form of sensuality. Well, there are still some to be removed from the body. They will stumble into darkness over the rock of offense, Jesus, in the man-child and in the people of God. The Lord is purging his army because of their seen and unseen sins. Then there will be a glorious revival. So we received this revelation the same day. And this one we called Harvest Begins. And it was on the same day, and that was 11/16/2012. This was given to B.A. I dreamed I was dressed like Ruth back in that time period. I was standing in Boaz's field, admiring the bounty of his crop. It's going to be a good harvest, I thought to myself. It won't be long now. Looks like the wheat is pretty much ready. It just needs a little more time, but not much. Well, at the time of Jesus, the man-child, he said in John 4:35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white already unto harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal," and on. I noticed some strange-looking weeds here and there, but I wasn't concerned, as I know that the harvesters can tell the difference between the wheat and the tares. Well, they both grow together until the harvest, we're told, or tribulation. And then the tares are gathered out of the kingdom to be burned. Matthew 13:30. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather up first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. As I was gazing about the field, I felt the ground start to shake under my feet. Well, this is very prophetic. We have been shown by Scripture and in many dreams of the anointing of the man-child at the time of great earthquakes. Mm-hmm. I looked down and I could see the earth shaking, but my feet were steady. I physically did feel the earth shake, and it made me look down, and I saw the earth moving. And I believe this represents both a physical and spiritual shaking. I believe the Lord was showing me something very important. He wanted me to see the earth moving and shaking, but also to take notice that my feet were not moved. They were perfectly steady. That was very encouraging to me. Well, of course, we all need to be that way. We're steady, the earth shakes, but that's them, not us, right? So I looked back up, and then I saw them in the distance. Here comes the harvesters. Oh, boy. I believe them to be the man-child, first fruits, coming into the field as they are the hand of the Lord finishing his work here on earth and bringing in God's harvest. Well, amen to that. Matthew 13:36 on. Then he left the multitudes and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Explain unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world, and the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are angels. Verse 40. As therefore the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom. That's people falling away. All things that cause stumbling and them that do iniquity. They remove them from the kingdom and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He that hath ears, let him hear. We call this one First Fruits Harvest, given to B.A. I had a vision where I was in the spirit looking down on an apple orchard, and I saw an old man whom I believe represents the Father, and he was at the very top of a large apple tree, and he was inspecting the apples. I believe this is probably spiritual Israel, right? At the top of the tree. And I believe that's representing the man-child who is the mature fruit, who is the top of the tree, like in Ezekiel 17, right? And to the right of the old man was his son, whom I believe represents Jesus. And his son was holding a woven basket. I believe this is the 144,000 man-child company. I watched as the old man carefully examined each apple, inspecting it for the right color, shape, before he could pick the apple and give it to his son to place in the woven basket. This is the picking of the first fruits. They all have to look like Jesus. Exodus 23:19. The first, that's the 144,000 man-child, of the first fruits, that's the bride, of thy ground thou shalt bring in to the house of Jehovah thy God. And 16, and the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou sowest in the field, that's the feast of harvest or Pentecost, sometimes called the day of first fruits. And, of course, you know, Pentecost represents being filled with the Holy Spirit, which much of the church is not. And I believe this first fruits represents the man, child, and bride. So this process went on until the basket was completely filled. Then I heard the old man say to his son, This harvest is complete. We will come back in a few weeks for the next harvest. So I believe this to be the bride harvest, the first fruits harvest. And then comes, in Ezekiel 23 and 16, and the feast of ingathering. That's the larger harvest. And it goes on to say, at the end of the year, when thou gatherest in thy labors out of the field. So the first harvest is being gathered totally into the kingdom. The second one will come by the end of the tribulation. Okay. And when thou gatherest in thy labors out of the field, the world, right? So the latter end of the year, a great harvest is done by the first fruits, man, child, and bride, as in the gospel and Acts. That's what they went to do at the very beginning. So here we're going to talk about the ingathering harvest. This was given to Eve Brast. I had a dream this morning that my husband, that is the Lord, had purchased many fruit trees. We are bought with a price, right? And they were all in large pots that he brought inside a mall in the center where all the halls intersected. An intersection is, of course, a place of decision. It's time for the chosen people of God to choose. They were not dwelling in the earth. They were mobile and able to be moved around where my husband wanted to take them. They follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, right? 144,000, man-child. Our sons, Noah, Elijah, and Josiah, representing the man-child ministries, about to pick the fruit, were running around to each tree so excited about the different fruits on them. The trees were all at different stages of bearing fruit. Some of them had young, new fruit, while others were ready to be picked. They were saying, wow, look at this tree's fruit. And, oh, look at this one. The church at different stages of bearing the fruit of Christ, right? The first fruits will be there to pick the fruit of the great revival harvest. Amen. So, my husband took me over to some particular trees and showed me one in particular that he was very proud of and said, look at these trees. They are very special. They are potato trees. And the potatoes were very large and ripe. I said, I thought potatoes grew under the ground. He said, these are special. They grow above ground. Well, those who are once underground in death and burial are now above ground in resurrection life, for they dwell in heavenly places in Christ. Then he showed me two other trees right next to them. I believe this is the two witnesses, and he did too, two witnesses. They had small leaves like a pomegranate or an olive tree. Revelation 11, 3 through 6 says, and I will give unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the Lord of the earth. And if any man desireth to hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man shall desire to hurt them, in this manner must he be killed. These have the power to shut the heavens that rain not during the days of their prophecy. And they have power over the waters to turn them into blood and to smite the earth with every plague as often as they shall desire. He said, look at these. These are very special too. I asked, where is their fruit? He replied, the leaves are their fruit. Well, we know leaves take in the sun son/sun, enabling the tree to bear fruit. So, he went on to say, they are for healing. Their leaves are for the healing of the nations. The fruit that they bear is spiritual fruit, the word of God that does bring healing to the people. In Revelation 22, 1 and 2, and he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street thereof, and on this side of the river, and on that was the tree of life, bearing 12 manner of fruits, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And then I woke up. And we got this one too. This is a sudden move of God. This was given to Debbie Finsky. During our morning Zoom meeting, the Lord allowed me to see in the Spirit those whom we would call the lowliest of people and those addicted to every kind of sin. And I could see the Spirit of the Lord suddenly coming upon them, moving in their spirits. I could discern their intense desire for God. These were dry, needy, and homeless people on the streets. Well, I believe these represent spiritually homeless people as well as the physically homeless people, but those people are all in need, right? And their need stems from the things in their heart, right? I could see them dropping to their knees and raising their hands to heaven with a sudden but awesome desire for Jesus to truly want to know him. And then I heard the following. I am doing this, I am doing the work, but even my people who know my truths and are walking in my ways will see and wonder if such persons could be touched in such a way. Amen. But I say to you, what a remnant I am bringing forth. So I warn you, I warn my people to be prepared. Be ready to receive my gift to minister to those whom I will allow you to run into as you go about your business of the day. And I say, do not let their appearance stop you from being moved by my Spirit, to minister by my Spirit as I bring you face to face with them. Be alert and do the work of God, even those affluent ones who have sat before Bible teachers hearing my word preached and receiving it with joy and walking in my ways to the best of their knowledge, will now suddenly receive revelation from my Spirit that they are yet so empty and needy of the deeper truths of my word. They are going to suddenly desire more of me, and they will seek me with all of their hearts, praying with earnest out of a sudden yearning desire, which I will suddenly impart to them. Ah, great. That's part of a revival, isn't it? So in revivals in the past, sinners and self-righteous people, suddenly, for no apparent reason, have been overcome with grief for their sins and cry out to God. And back to the revelation, and many will find you and will truly find me through the ministry and revelation truths that you have received in me through my word and are so freely giving out. Be ready, my people, for I will suddenly do a quick work. Have you not heard? The harvest is ready to be picked. Therefore, I say to you, stay prepared in me, and go forth intentionally into my harvest field. Drop all things that would hinder you from being my vessels, for I have called you. Thank you, Father. Bless us all in Jesus' name to receive this word from you and to move with your Spirit. and to bring many into your kingdom and into your eternal kingdom truths. Lord, help us all to be ready. And amen. Well, Lord bless you, saints. Thank you so much for this. I hope you'll get some good out of it. And be blessed in the name of Jesus. Amen. And Michael is going to come and share something with you, and we pray and bless him in the name of Jesus. Amen.